good to see everyone here tonight. I hope that the things that I have to say tonight will be strictly in accordance to God's word, and that it will be beneficial to every one of us. As Brother Barry said earlier, we will be continuing the series on the 1st and 2nd Peter. Tonight we'll be studying 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 22. So if you would, turn in your Bibles or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. This passage talks about the way to gain and keep a good conscience, as well as explaining some of the suffering of Christ and the salvation he brought to all mankind. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 22. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, and do good. Let him seek peace, and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. In this passage, verses 8 through 15 talk about the way we should live in order to have a good conscience. We must be of one mind together, loving one another and not returning evil for evil. We must also control our tongue and seek for peace. There will be some who contradict and turn against us, but we must continue and not be ashamed, but always be ready to give an answer. By doing these things, we can retain a good conscience. Verses 18 through 22 talk about the sufferings of Christ and the sacrifice he made to allow us to be saved from the evil of this world. By his death, he brought baptism for remission of sins, which symbolizes the death of a sinful man and resurrection of a man free from sin. Through this baptism, we can gain a good conscience. Christ then ascended into heaven, where he reigns on the right hand of God. To gain a good conscience, the first verses of this passage in 1 Peter talk about the way we should live in order to have a good conscience. Having a good conscience means to know that you have done well. If we do the things described in this passage, we will be able to have a good conscience. Verses 8 through 9 of 1 Peter 3 talk about working together. They explain some parts of how we should treat each other and how we should all be agreeable together. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 9, "Finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." These verses tell us that we need to stay together and be kind to each other. We should never be mean or condescending to someone just because they did it to us. We should instead be kind to them. Verse 8 talks about how we should all be of one mind, meaning that there should be no divisions among us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul asked the Corinthians to be together in the same mind. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul asked the church at Corinth not to be divided. He tells them to be perfectly joined together. This means to have the same resolve, to have the same goal in mind. He wanted them to all be working together toward a common goal, the goal of reaching that heavenly home with Jesus. Going back to 1 Peter 3, Peter also talks about loving and having love toward each other. Jesus said that people would know us, know that we were his disciples, because we love each other. In John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus says here that if we have love to each other, all men will know that we are his disciples. They'll see us going to help each other and know that there's something different about us. That we're all together. And because of that, we'll need to help each other so that we can show that to the world. Along the same lines, Peter says that we should not render or give back evil for evil. Romans 12 says instead to think about good things to do for people. Romans 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. The word recompense in this verse is the same word translated render in 1 Peter. But I want to look more closely at the latter part of this verse. The word provide means to consider in advance or look out for beforehand. The word honest means beautiful, good, valuable, and virtuous. So instead of returning evil to those who have done evil to us, we need to be always looking for things to do, for good things to do to others, to do for others. So when someone hurts us, instead of returning that and trying to hurt them back, we instead need to see that as a time to do good to them. Verses 10 through 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3 speak of what those who want to see good days should do. 1 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If you want to be happy in this life and not have a lot of troubles with other people, you'll need to do these things. You'll need to refrain from speaking when you shouldn't and seek for peace among all men. First of all, it says we need to keep our tongues in check. I'm sure we've all probably said something and thought, that wasn't very nice, or why did I say that? And we start fumbling with our words to try to figure out how to make it seem not as bad as the way it sounded. I know I've been in that situation. Proverbs 10, verse 19 tells us that when we talk a lot, there's a good possibility that we'll mess up. Proverbs 10, verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. When we're trying to talk all the time and we don't listen and try to figure out what the other person is actually trying to say, there's a likelihood that we're in the wrong. In order to have a good conscience, we need to watch carefully what we say. 1 Peter also said that in order to see good days, we must seek peace. Psalm 34 combines seeking peace and refraining our tongues from evil to help us to depart from evil. Psalm 34, verses 13 through 14, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. By combining keeping our tongue from evil and seeking peace, we will be better equipped to find peace and help toward having a good conscience. Verses 13 and 15 of 1 Peter 3 talk about the way we should react to persecution. He says that we should be happy and not be ashamed, but be ready to give an answer of what we hope for. 1 Peter 3, verses 13 through 15, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a question, asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. In this passage, Peter starts out with a question. He says, who will harm you for doing good? He tells them that even though it seems weird for people to harm you for doing good things, things will come. But he tells these people not to be afraid, but to be happy. He also says that they should always be ready to give an answer for their hope. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15 that because the people persecuted him, they would also persecute the disciples. In John 15, verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus told the disciples that persecution would come. Because they weren't greater than he was, they would also be persecuted. If they kept with his teachings, they would be persecuted by those who had persecuted Jesus. But since we know that the apostles were persecuted, we can look to them for an example, and we can see how they reacted to persecution. Acts 5, verse 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The apostles had been captured earlier in the chapter and had been taken before a council of the Jews. The chief priests put them in prison and told them not to speak the name of Jesus or teach Jesus' word. In the night, an angel came, let them go, and sent them to preach in the temple. When the chief priest sent for them the next morning, they weren't in prison, so his men went looking for them, found them in the temple preaching, and brought them back. They were beaten and let go, again told that they were not to speak in the name of Jesus. But you can see here that they rejoiced. They weren't wimps. They knew that what they were doing was right. And because of that, they suffered, but rejoiced because they were doing it all for God. Another way the Bible describes that we should address persecution is by not being ashamed because of the gospel. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, Paul writing to Timothy here says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of what you're teaching and what you've been taught. What is there to be ashamed of in the gospel message? The only thing that could cause us to feel ashamed of the gospel message is by those who persecute us, those who ridicule us for what we do. But we need to make sure that we aren't ashamed by that gospel, because it's what saves us. By doing these things, we will be able to have a good conscience. Peter says that after doing these things, we will be able to obtain a good conscience by having a good conscience. By having this good conscience, we will be able to know whether people are accusing us rightly or not. 1 Peter 3, verses 16 through 17. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. When we have a good conscience, we can know that we're doing what's right. And we can know that when we're being persecuted, it's because we're doing the right thing, not because we're doing the evil thing. Paul told a council of Jews in Acts chapter 23 that he had lived in all good conscience before God until that day. Acts 23 and verse 1, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Paul told the council that he had lived in all good conscience because he had always done what he believed was right. Paul also said in Acts 24 that he always strove to have a conscience void of offense. Acts 24, verse 16, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Paul always worked to do what was right, so his conscience was clear of wrongdoing. He wanted to make sure that he wouldn't have things bothering him because he knew he had done wrong. But why does it matter that we have a good conscience? 1 Peter 3, verses 18 through 22. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Christ came to this earth, died for our sins, and left a way for salvation. Peter talks about how Noah was saved by water, and how that was a figure of how we will now be saved through baptism and the forgiveness of sins through that process. Christ was made to bear the burden of our sins on Calvary. He suffered so he could save us. 1 Peter 3, verses 18 through 19. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Christ died so he could bring salvation to you and me. In John chapter 15, Jesus told his disciples that there is no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. John 15, verses 13 and 14, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Jesus gave himself for those who would after him. He also says that those who follow him are his friends. He showed us the greatest love imaginable. He gave his life for us who follow him as his friends. By his death and sacrifice on the cross, Jesus brought salvation to the world. 1 Peter 3, verses 20 through 22, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was up preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Christ gave us a way through baptism to be forgiven of our sins. He gave us a way to gain a good conscience. When we are baptized, our old man of sin is buried and a new man rises. Colossians 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. When we are baptized, our sin is forgotten. Our old self dies and is buried, but we are resurrected in new life, free from sin. Our slate's wiped clean so we can have a good conscience. Good conscience is gained when we become a child of God. Once we gain that point, we must continue to do what is right in order to keep that good conscience. Because of the way we live and react to situations, ridicule and persecution may come. But we must always be ready to answer why we believe what we do. When we are suffering, we can remember that Christ also suffered for doing right. But he also bore our sins to the cross so that we could be forgiven of them. Through baptism for remission of sins, which was instituted by his death and resurrection, we can be saved from our sins and gain a home in heaven with him someday. Have you been baptized? If you've not, we'd love to help you do that so that you can have a good conscience, so you can be free from that sin. If you have been baptized and you gain that good conscience, but you've done things that have weighed on your conscience since then, and you would like the prayers of the church, we ask one of either class to come forward as we sing, stand and sing the song that's been selected.